Okay, we're going to start in Galatians chapter 1. And I want to share, I really do encourage you, please would you just be a big help and sign up. And we've got like 70 plus people already signed up, but we want to make sure we got a lot of food and it would just help us. And you can bring any friend to the, you know, to the love marriage and much more. And there is going to be a super breakout encounter for singles. Anybody who's not currently married, for any, you know, divorced, widowed, just young, never yet married, doesn't matter. There's a place set aside after lunch to have an experience with the love of God. And I think it's going to be really powerful. So it's, we want this for everybody. And then if you know anybody 90 years old, bring them to our lunch, because we're going to celebrate Rufus Nash and anybody 90 plus. I think we've got at least a couple. We've got Rosie's dad, I believe he's 90. But anyway, he's right now been in the hospital. And then we have Shirley Finfrock, who was our first church secretary. Crack up. God, you live long enough, everybody gets old. Anyway, thank you, Father, for what you're doing. I rejoice in who you are and what you've provided in your Son, the glorious Lamb of God, the victorious, triumphant one, resurrected. In you we see light, in you we understand God, we experience your glory, we find your image, we are conformed and transformed into the very image of who you are, resurrected Lord, that you might be the firstborn among many brethren. What a glorious path we're in. You are such a provider for everything, have done everything. Anyone in any moment can turn to you. Veils fall off, hearts respond, and our life just steps back into what we were known for before time began, chosen for before the foundation of the world, called an inheritance and for your purpose and in your glory. So, Lord, would you awaken in each of us? Would you reveal Jesus Christ in each of us? Would you be pleased this service to reveal Jesus Christ in each of us so that we could respond to you in like fashion. Jesus, you know where we are, each of us individually. You know who we are in you. You know what we are, what we're called to be and do. You know all these things. So would you unlock what you're doing? Take away the blinders. You said whenever a man or woman turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So we turn to you, Jesus, intentionally. We turn from our circumstances, our confusion, our pain, our loss, our busyness, the things we have yet to do today when we get home. And we just turn with the best we can to put our eyes upon your face to see you. Because in the face of Jesus Christ is the experience of all the glory of God that we'll ever need, that will transform us into the image of Christ that we are called to be. In the way you made us to live life triumphantly and joyfully and hilariously. So do it now, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. Now, I want to take us into the Apostle Paul's conversion, which became his testimony, which became the source of his inspiration for all ministry. Because he's the one who's recorded in the scriptures all of this. And because he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, he shares in other places what was happening. Because in each of us is the same Jesus Christ. And what my prayer is that while we're together, Jesus Christ, Father, will be pleased to reveal Jesus Christ in you. Remind us. The Holy Spirit came to remind us of all truth, to guide us, to show us things to come, to give to us freely all that Christ has and all the Father has is Christ. So I'm just expecting that Holy Spirit is going to personalize. So as you start to listen, be attentive to what he begins to illustrate. At the end, God, I believe, is going to renew your calling or clarify your calling or return you to your calling. Callings are what we're uniquely called into life for. They're not just ministry, Bible. It's our life calling, our purpose. And I believe God's going to identify us, each of us, in a biblical character or storyline so we can have some place to find comfort and understanding about how what's happening with us. So those are my hopes for the end of the service. But let's start with Paul's words. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the key to every eternal encounter and life-changing process, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In fact, the last book of the Bible is called that. It's to have this revelation, literally means to have take the cover off for something that was not visible now becomes visible. Something was covered, now you can see. So when Jesus is revealed, then he understand what the gospel was about. And same is true. For you have heard of my former conduct. You know, he contrasts that he wasn't trying to be this person. It was actually God who came after him. How I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. So he was serious. Every part of what you are, you were set in motion before time began. Most of us get askewed in life's beginnings or in life's development or in life's decisions, and we go off on some funky tangents. But if you look at your funky tangents, you'll find they're closer to your calling than they're not. You just went the opposite direction, but in the same who you are. You just were big who you were there. And God's intent is now to bring you and release you into who you are in him. So he's just zealous. He said, I was exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, these two verses, 15 and 16, you can take and personalize in your own prayer and meditation. I promise you, the scriptures will come alive as they did for Paul. He's explaining the new birth experience. When it pleased God, so everything that's happening is under his pleasure. And there are things that we're trying to force that are not going to happen until he's pleased. And there's things that we're trying to say no to that he is very pleased to have come to us. So when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. You were separated when you were in your mother's womb. You were already being released into your lifetime calling, your eternal purpose, your inheritance. Because it was given to you before time began. Now you're conceived and you're gestating, growing up into the womb. And right in that moment, God is pulling you into your future. And he's separating you for what he called you. And called me through his grace. He separated us from our mother's womb and called us through his grace. Every one of us, even if you were, quote unquote, an unexpected pregnancy, an unwanted child, it doesn't matter. You were wanted and loved in the womb by the Father who looked upon you and said, I have a destiny. I want to unlock this. And it's through grace. So to reveal the Son in me. Now, go back to verse 15. I don't know grammar. That's terrible. I wish I would have learned it, but I was too busy being stoned. And I thought being cool was not learning. Just stupid. But anyway, put that aside. I know a little bit about commas. When you put a comma in and then put another comma, you insert a thought that allows the sentence to, I'm probably messing up, Norco will tell me later if I did this correctly, but you allow a thought to be inserted, and if you took the thought out of it, the sentence still has to make sense. So there, did I do it right, Beck? Yeah. Dear Jesus, it's happening. Shalomahamba. So you could read it like this. See, we read it, but when it pleased God, then he inserts a qualifier, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me through his grace to reveal the Son in me. But you could read it and should read it. It should hold it, the same thought. When it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. Do you understand how that worked? It was when God was pleased. Yes, he had separated me from my mother's womb. Yes, he'd called me by grace. Well, therefore, you would think, then, Paul, you really messed up. No, Paul just was being Paul. He was just being Saul, I should say, until Father was pleased to reveal his Son in me. So now you can go up to verse 16. So when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, this is the prayer that all of us can pray continually to the last day we have a breath, because this is the goal of the discovery. Everything is in Jesus Christ. You don't get a it's just the more you have the revelation of Jesus Christ, the more you see who you are. The more you see what you're called to do, the more you're empowered to do it, the inheritance is there. Everything is in Jesus Christ. And so he said, when he revealed his son in me, and now he explains, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Every salvation comes with the calling and inheritance attached in that moment. It's not later you figure out who you are. Go back and rehearse your testimony. Go back to your memory, to your emotion, to your experience. Go back to the first few months of your yielded life to this God. And I bet you will see more clarity to who you are called to be than 20, 30 years later. Because religion gets in there. Efforts get in there. Failure follows. Betrayal. And next thing you know, we just feel like it's a gobbledygook. But really, truly, when he came, He not only saved me, but he called me. He not only forgave me, but he gave me an inheritance. And when those moments, when I rehearse those moments, this is what Paul did. He grew from just being someone who, yeah, I believe in Jesus. He grew a testimony of what Jesus came to do in him. And that gave him focus to the ministry of his life. And no matter who we are, we can be Moses, born, our parents recognize there's something special about you, a child, though we're not allowed to keep you, we're going to keep you anyway as long as we can. You can grow up in a Pharaoh's house and seemingly have the perfect platform to do the perfect work for the kingdom to unlock the Hebrews from their slavery. But unfortunately, God always wrecks you before he uses you. And you can be like that man who gave up everything and went to go serve and then lost everything you gave up. And you got doubly whacked because you made a stupid decision and killed somebody trying to free people, which I don't know anybody in the ministry that doesn't first kill somebody before they free somebody. You just hurt people. You try to do and force and make things happen. And then you can spend 40 years wandering, you know, taking care of sheep, leading them, and then one day the bush burns. And all along, for 80 years, you have been God's separated deliverer, called to be a deliverer for Israel. And you said, but Moses, you missed it. No, he didn't miss it. He had to be raised up in the wisdom and the expertise of Egypt. Then he had to be diminished from all the wisdom and expertise of Egypt. And then he had to be brought into an utter dependency to God to do what he was called to do. And only in that position could God use him for what he called him to. So all of life, how old are you? Don't tell me. Just count, you know. You know how old you are. That whole journey has led you to today. That's why I love the song we sang. We can't go back to the beginning and we can't control what's coming in the future, but we are in today. And it's the moment of today where the revelation and the understanding and the opportunity abounds. So what Paul does, he says, when he pleased God to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's his calling. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. This is a very important thing. If you can learn this, when God speaks to you, don't go tell somebody else. What do you think that means? Because I promise you, they're going to probably tell you what it doesn't mean. They'll speak from their experience, their problems. You know, of course we have trusted people that we're trying to sort big things out. But you have to learn, like Paul did, you have to learn to go, I'm going to have to process this. I'm going to have to sort this one out. Dear God, I just killed. How many people have I led to death through my zeal for Judaism to only meet Jesus, the Messiah? Who's now called me to preach. I mean, so he said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. He didn't go and try to figure it out or get other people to figure it out. Somebody used to say this, I heard it a long time ago. He said, what happens is when the Spirit of God communicates revelation of Jesus Christ, there's an anointing on that revelation. And it comes like that. And if you feel it, you'll go, whoa, that is so good. You'll sound like Larry. Whoa, that's so good. And then what will happen is you'll be tempted to go share it. And as a minister, I've had that temptation forever. And what happens, though, there's an anointing on the revelation. And when you share it, the revelation leaves you and the anointing lifts off of you and you forgot what you heard. Because the anointing wasn't for you to preach it. It was for you to receive it, to have it imbibe into your spirit womb and to implant itself inside of you so that it began to take over your life. And if you give it away too soon, you don't have the authority. So therefore, the word of God has to come in and you hide those words. Like Mary, she'd hide all this stuff that she'd hear about her son. So hide what you hear, record it inside your spirit, and let it gestate and ruminate, meditate. Find that. What does that mean? I used to try to go do it. That doesn't work either. Now I just go and worship and experience it in the presence of God. So he goes, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. So he didn't even go say, I got to go to school to learn this, what I've just had experience. He had quite an experience. He said, I didn't go up there. I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. And I saw no other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning these things which I write to you indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterwards, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown to the face of the churches of Judea which were in Christ. He just kind of went into a place to be taught by the Holy Spirit in the face of Jesus Christ. He was separated, and now he's being separated to truth, to Christ, to not need to perform, but to be able to be changed. So they were only hearing that he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. That is super, super insightful. Paul is teaching us the secrets of how he discovered this glorious gospel through the revelation of Jesus Christ and why it has such power. He has the audacity in the book, Romans, different. He says, you're saved according to my gospel. Yeah. Can you imagine how much? He'd say, you need to imitate me like I imitate Christ. A lot of times what we're doing is we're imitating imitations. We're going through the telephone storyline and everybody's hearing something, repeating what they heard until we never hear what was first said. We have to take possession of what we're hearing. That's why your testimony is so important. So quickly to Acts chapter 22, let's discover some things about Jesus, Paul's testimony, and see what comes alive in ours. Acts chapter 9. I want to just today, in this meeting right here, focus on the experience with Ananias, the first man who led Paul into his experience with Jesus Christ and what was happening. So Acts chapter 9 was where he first gets saved. That's his salvation experience. And let me just find where I am. He's now blind. He's praying. He hasn't ate for 3 days. And a certain disciple, verse 10, chapter 9, at Damascus was named Ananias, and in a vision he heard, and he said, Lord, I'm here. Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, verse 11, and inquire at the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. In a vision he saw a man coming in and putting his hand on him, he might receive his sight. Ananias, verse 13, says, Lord, I'm so glad you came and talked to me before you did this, that you've got a mistake. Couldn't possibly want Saul. We know who he is. I've heard of how many things about this man he's harmed and done. In verse 14, he has authority, the chief priest, to bind all who call on your name. And the Lord said to him, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. So in this salvation experience, this one statement to Ananias, that Ananias obviously repeats to Paul, because it's recorded somewhere later, go, he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Then Ananias went, entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has come. He sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he rose and was baptized. So Galatians chapter 1 says, Father was pleased to reveal his son in him. At this experience, at this moment, from the glory experience on the road to Damascus 3 days later in this encounter to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, to have his eyes open so he can begin to see in the new realm. He is having a revelation. It's radical. It's changing everything. And he gets strength and he starts to preach Jesus immediately. When you see Jesus, you can preach Jesus. Don't preach what you don't know. Just preach what you see. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, you have authority in. It's got to be experiential. I don't need to know what you know that you read. Trust me, it won't help me. But if what you read, you went on and grew in it and experienced it, and it brought transformation in your life, now it's yours. And you won't tell me what you read. You'll tell me what you know. And when you tell me what you know, then you have authority to help me, and I want to hear it. Does that make sense? And if it has to do with freedom that comes through receiving Jesus, I'm really all ears. Has to do with things you have to do, I don't even want to hear it because I'm too tired of trying to be a better person through practicing Christian principles. I did that when I was young and had a lot of energy. And I was super proud and full of arrogance and a lot of fear. And I thought I could do this. So, but I can't. So all I want to hear about is Jesus Christ and how he liberates and how he is the sufficiency of everything and how he forgives and how he heals and how he delivers. And I don't have to do anything but to move toward him, believe in him, receive him. When I hear somebody telling me that story, I know they've lived somewhat of my life. They've had some encounters. Paul, I'm preaching now. Let's stop. I have issues. Sorry. Let's jump to Acts chapter 22. So Paul now stands in front of an angry mob, a very angry mob, ready to kill him, tear him apart. It's 22 years, 23, maybe 25 years since his conversion. And he's now standing on the steps in the city of Jerusalem, at the temple, and he's declaring, and he says, brethren and fathers, verse 1, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke it to them in the Hebrew language, they got quiet. So he said, I indeed am a Jew, born of Tarsus of Cilicia, had brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, was zealous toward God as you are today, persecuted the way to the death, binding, delivering into prison both men and women. Your story starts where you started. Doesn't have to change. You don't have to clean up your testimony. You're just who you were. And God found you. I also, the high priest, will bear witness, the council elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were here there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. So he now recounts the experience. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, that's the power of the witness, is all you're doing is testifying what happened to you. You're not proving it. You're not defending it. You're just testifying to it. The Holy Spirit will do the rest and grant hearing hearts if they're hungry and it's their appointed time and Father's pleased to reveal his son. Many things can happen. But I tell you one thing, it won't happen. If they all reject you, they won't take your testimony from you because that's your story. That's not a story you made up. It's a story that happened to you. It's a real story of your testifying, and it's got power. And every time you say it, it just goes deeper and deeper. Now watch this. Because he answered and he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. And those who were with me, indeed, they saw the light, were afraid, but they did not hear the voice who spoke to me. And I said, what do you want? What shall I do, Lord? The Lord said, arise, go to Damascus, and there will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. Now that is pretty much like chapter 9. When we get to chapter 26, he drops some things. Because that's the beauty of a testimony. You can talk, share, emphasize the part that needs emphasis. It's important to the hearers. In this group, he's just giving factual substantiation. I once was totally not who I am. But now he goes on and he says, and since I could not see for the glory of that light, I told you last week, glory will either enlighten your vision of Jesus or blind you to Jesus. It's Isaiah chapter 6 over and over again. It's a gift to see Jesus. Don't ever think that you are smart enough to see him. It was a gift. It's what we, if we value the revelation of Jesus Christ, we'll give him time in prayer, and he will show us himself in his word and by the Spirit, and over time, we will grow up into his likeness, and we will be the most happiest people at the end of this journey. Miserable at times during it, because he will be transforming us from glory to glory. We'll be learning to let go of fleshly fears and soulish thoughts and prideful behavior. And those things are never easy, but in the process of time, we will be giving Jesus more and more reign, rule, and sufficiency until the end of the day. We'll take that last breath and go, my labors are finished. I can now enter into glory. Be beautiful. Now, a certain Ananias, now he's going to focus on Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me. Now, this is he's elaborating the experience, because every encounter with Jesus Christ will grow. It carries within itself, though, the genesis of the experience that will grow into the fullness of that encounter, and you'll even add to it what it was happening that you couldn't understand when you first had it happen. Because now watch him. He said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And that same hour, I looked up at him. Okay, that's pretty much factual. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. One of the things about a calling is you have to know you were chosen to do this. That's where your authority comes in. And it takes a long time to have the confidence to say, I was chosen. I was called. I was chosen for this. He has chosen you that you should know his will. Oh, if you get this verse, it's worth all the money you've spent. To know his will, to see the just one, that's Jesus Christ, and to hear the voice of his mouth. To know, to see, to hear. To know, to see, to hear. That's what an spiritual experience is. In your prayer closet, in a sanctuary right now, to know his will, to see the just one, hear his voice of his mouth. For you will be a witness. Now watch this. You will be a witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. You see, you don't have any sound unless you've seen and heard it. We are a repeater of the sound of heaven, not the creator of the sound of heaven. We repeat what we see and hear, not what we don't create what we see and hear. So he goes on, and now why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. Call in on the name of the Lord. So this conversion, this baptism, was a true demarcation for Paul to say, the man who killed people is no longer alive. And now a new creation has risen. And it happened when I returned to Jerusalem. Now he's trying to collect the testimony to the situation he's in, which is he was just arrested, or actually he's been captured, delivered by the Roman centurion, because the mob was ready to kill him because they surmised that he had brought in Greeks into the temple to defile the temple. And they were livid in their religious rabid feeling. So he's now trying to connect them. When I was in Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple, and I was in a trance. And I saw him saying to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. Paul's going, like all of us, especially when we're young. Well, why not? Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprison and beat those who believe you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who are killing you. Now, here's the good news. You have to remember this, so don't be discouraged in your journey. Your testimony isn't where you came from. That's the basis of what, that's the context. Your testimony is where you're headed to and who you're being transformed by and the encounters you've had since the day you surrendered. That's why the testimony of a believer becomes stronger and more beautiful and powerful over the decades. It does not diminish. It does not become like, well, that was then, but this is now. I really kind of did that and keep enough in assurance in place so that I don't lose my place. No, this is like, he's going, hey, I'm the person that should be telling everybody about Jesus because they know how much I hated him. And he's going, now, depart. for I will send you far away from here to the Gentiles. Then they listened to him. These are the mob. Gnashers. They listened to him until this word. What word? Gentiles. Prejudice. Hatred. We're going to get you. And they raised their voice and said, away with this fellow from the earth. He's not fit to live. That is not logic. That's not rationale. That is just mob mentality. So they take him. 2 years later, verse 26. Chapter 26. 2 years later, he's standing before King Agrippa, who is a thoughtful, discerning man who wanted to hear the Apostle Paul. He's heard about the Christians, the sect within the Jewish religion now. He wants to understand this Jesus. So Paul stands up in front of him. And verse 11, he gave a quick context. I punished them often in every synagogue. I compelled them to blasphemy. And being exceedingly enraged against them. Now, that I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Just the context of where God found me. And while thus occupied, oh, the power of the Lord Jesus who's coming into the planet today. And the glory of God and all that funky stuff we're trying to bother with. Ooh, when he starts showing up, arresting people. As I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around, in and through, and all over me. That's how Greek goes. And those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it was hard for you to kick against the goads. I said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Keith, that. Every time Paul is now trying to introduce the gospel of Jesus Christ, he begins with how he met Jesus Christ. And he talks about who he was before he met him and what he was doing as he met him. And he talks about what Jesus said to him. But instead of now saying, what do you want me to do, Lord? He just goes right into what has grown and grown and grown and grown in his life and is growing in our life. See, growing in our life, whether we're listening or not. That's why if you get into a moment of listening, you could be ignoring God for 15 years. You go back into listening, boom, you're caught up into the 15-year mark. And it may feel like whiplash going, whoa, but just connect. Because he said, but rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. Everything God does is for a purpose, and it's not for you. Hallelujah. It's not for you. It's for him. For him. And he said, for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. Oral Roberts used to say, if you're a minister of the gospel, terrific, but you better be a witness of it too. Because who cares what you know unless it happened to you, unless it's experienced. So here it is. I'm going to make you a minister and a witness back of both the things which you have seen in. Just this is a pretty big deal. And of the things which I will yet reveal to you. See, that's you're gonna know the voice of the just one. You're gonna. This was Paul's life. Everything that grew, all these books, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Corinthians, Romans, all came in the genesis of that encounter. And it would never change, and Jesus Christ would be forefront, foremost, everything. Everything is Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus Christ in the center of what you're speaking, you're wasting my time. Sorry, there I went again preaching. But it's true. Jesus Christ is the culmination of everything. Everything. He is so much the culmination of everything that he's seated at the right hand of God, waiting for all his enemies to be made a footstool. And when all of that has functioned so that all that is in Christ has become one in him and everything that is in rebellion against him is under his feet, then he will take all the authority that had been given, vested to him, and he'll give it back to the Father. Jesus Christ, he's everything. He's so everything. So he says, I'm going to deliver you from the Jewish people. As well as from the Gentiles whom I now send you. And then here's his mission. To open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. How did he get that out of his conversion? I didn't read that in chapter 9. I didn't read that in chapter 22. Are you making up stuff, Paul? No, he's learning what is happening. He's learning the experience. He's growing it in. He's being influenced through the, not flesh and blood, but through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So now he basically says, this is my life mission. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. It all came in a moment, in a twinkling, in a light. It takes a lifetime to discover what it means. But I said, I'm just the disobedient, and we'll close right here. He says, I was not disobedient. Literally means I allowed the vision to continually influence me. Like what Ken said so well. If we work with our brain, we'll limit our future. Because our brain will sit on the flesh trying to sort it out scientifically. We'll go, and not realizing it's become an enemy of God. But if we'll tell our mind to submit itself to the Spirit and let the Spirit be our connector point, then we'll bring life and peace and we can go forward. That's why we're counting your encounter. So let's close. I get so full of life in this. I'm 43 years old in Jesus and I'm not bored at all. That's strange. I mean, we are about to come into some of the most crazy stuff. So if you're young, get alive. If you're old, wake up, turn it on, get alive. Let's let the sound of his voice recapture our imagination. I want to be the last breath of my life, be meditating on the revelation of Jesus Christ, telling somebody about the glorious one. So here's the question. I want you to do this before you leave. Say your name, and then say, I am called. And you say to, or an adjective about you, called a son, called to preach, called an apostle, called to be a millionaire, called to be a liberator, a deliverer. You see, you're known, your name is more than your way we call each other to come to dinner. It's the destiny, it's the intentionality. Don't be afraid. You won't be wrong. And I promise you, the bigger it is, the happier God will be. My name is Steve Dittmar. I'm called to be an apostle. It took me a long time to be able to be free to say that, but it's true. I'm not very good at it, but who cares? I'm called to be. It doesn't matter how well you are. It's what you're called to be. And then the second thing I want to ask you to ask the Lord for, where are you in the Bible? Who are you in the Bible? It's a lot of crazy people in the Bible. You got to be like one of them. And when you find who you are in the Bible, go learn that person's discovery of God, and you'll learn your discovery. That's why Peter is who I am in the Bible. I don't want to be Peter, but I am Peter, so I have to accept who I am. I see things way before everybody else sees them, but then I freak out and run away and lose my place. But I'm privileged to discern. So he's helped me watching Peter growing up in Jesus. And so who my name is, then say I'm called to be, called to do. It can be, I'm called to be ravishly loved by God. I'm called to be his daughter. I'm called to be his son. You can start there. It's obviously the first things we hear is the calling of sonship, Abba. But grow that conversation. It's really all that you want to grow in your life. You can be called to be an incredible attorney or a powerful accountant or make lots of money and give it to the kingdom. But the functions have to come from the unction. I'm called to be. It'll carry into heaven. It'll carry into the future. And I see myself in the Bible here. I'm finding my instruction. Then we'll go through many characters. I've gone through all the characters at one time or another because at one time or another I'm in one of their jams. I'm trying to get out of it. I'm trying to sort out what does that mean. So, Father, I praise you for this company. And I know you wanted to do this today. I don't want to do everybody in line. You wanted to bring each of us to an experiential moment within our salvation's calling. and inheritance. Lord, I know some of us have been ravaged and discarded and pushed aside and put away. We feel like a Moses or anything else, but it doesn't matter. For our callings, our inheritance, our purpose was given to us before time began and never is withdrawn. Would you activate us? My name is, I'm called to be. I'm called. And Lord, would you help us in this calling and this accepting these words, scriptures, to find ourselves in a character of the Bible, someone we could gain comfort and encouragement and strength and learn from by watching their interactions with you. Old or New Testament, doesn't matter. You know how to do that. Do it for us so we can grow up in the fullness of the testimony into the ministry, calling, and inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. And I now activate one more thing. Lord, Holy Spirit, you know all this. Awaken the pleasure of your Spirit. Awaken the memories of our journey. Awaken the revelation of Jesus Christ. Guide us into truth. Remind us of things you've said. Take us back to encounters that were significant, though they seem to be so warred over that we lost the context of them. Let us hear the genesis of heaven in the midst of them. Unlock your sons and daughters. Come, Holy Spirit. Without you, we will not get there. We will be minds and never have the freedom to flow. Come, Holy Spirit, and awaken. Spirit of truth. Come, come. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not coming to condemn us. You're coming to liberate us, to bring freedom, to loose us from whatever needless, wasteful spending of our energies into the freedom of fulfillment and experience of Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. We want you. We need you to break us in, bring us, translate us, bring us transformation from glory to glory to glory to glory. The Father, command the light that shone out of darkness that now shines in our heart to give the experience of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do it now for each of us, right here, right now. Amen.